Support for this News from Lake Wobegon podcast comes from the Sleep Number bed by Select Comfort, the bed that lets you adjust the mattress firmness to your preference, your sleep number. And by Bisquick Heart Smart Pancake and Baking Mix. With 0 grams trans fat and no cholesterol, Bisquick Heart Smart Pancakes are a delicious way to be good to your heart. Bisquick, real pancakes, real good. Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. We got some snow early this week, which was so welcome, freshened up what we had and gave a little dazzle, a little glamour to our world, this world of white and all these grays and shades of black. Beautiful, beautiful week with little flashes of blue jay and cardinal and a yellow parka here and there. This lovely, peaceful winter world. Nothing more beautiful than today. Little snow falling in this quiet, quiet, lovely landscape. They are forecasting blizzards and colder weather to come. And so at the Chatterbox Cafe, the big dish this week was the tater tot casserole, which is very popular with a storm coming on. Clint Bunsen sat there at the counter at the Chatterbox Cafe, not saying anything. Conversation going around him about the weather forecast and snow and ice fishing. He just sat there drinking his coffee. Nobody asked him what was wrong. We don't ask that of people who are quiet in Lake Wobegon, especially Norwegians. We don't ask that. They might answer. They might tell us what's wrong. And then, of course, it would be nothing we could do anything about. So we would just feel worse on account of it. Collections have been way, way down, cash collections in the Lutheran Church. And so this Sunday, the thermostat will be turned down in the Lutheran Church, and Pastor Enquist will be a good deal larger under his vestments. He'll have a down vest on him this week, and we'll just leave the Lutherans to come to their own conclusions. He was driving home between the two Ash Wednesday services on Wednesday. They do a morning and they do an evening service. He was driving home, and then he drove out into the country. He had given a sermon at the Good Shepherd Nursing Home on the subject of transformation, which had been on his mind since the word appeared in his horoscope in the paper one morning. And then he heard one of the presidential candidates use the word transformation. And then his boy brought him this big black thing and said, "What is this?" It was a transformer from a train set. So he put three together. He thought maybe he should talk about transformation. He was speaking to geezers and geezerettes at the nursing home and talking about transformation and how in heaven we will be youthful and vibrant and vital and leaping and singing. And Mrs. Berge said, without raising her hand, "You don't have to when you're 85 anymore." She said, "How will we recognize each other?" A good question. A good question. It just goes right straight to the heart of things. He was thinking about transformation as he was driving out into the country. And then a great white owl suddenly was flying just above his car and right over his hood ornament as he was heading up the road. It just stayed with him. He was mesmerized by its beautiful wings and the rhythm, the cadence of the owl beating its wings. Transformation. He thought, maybe the car is going to be picked up and go directly into paradise. He was ready to believe in this. It's a very emotional time of year for him. He's come to tears so many times in the last month, which is rare for him. He is Norwegian. This is a dry people, an indehiscent people, hardened seed pods inside their heads. Not a lot of moisture going on in there. They've been full of emotion full of, his heart has been full, he's not always been sure, full of what, as he was driving along, following the owl, beating down the snowy road. And then the owl swerved to his left, and the pastor followed him, almost went into the ditch. But he was going up the driveway to Marilyn and Daryl Tollerud's farm, and now he was making a pastoral call with no idea what for or what he was going to say, except Scripture tells us not to think about what we shall say. The Holy Spirit will provide us with the message. The message that he had was this feeling of tenderness that he has towards young people, especially at the Ash Wednesday service. They all came from school because they could get out of school for the morning Ash Wednesday service. So it was packed with teenagers. And there he was to brush ashes on their foreheads. Some of those foreheads are not easy to find. There's a lot of hair hanging down there. And some of them with acne, pimples, and you're not sure that ashes are the right thing for acne. At all, but he brushes a little smudge of ash on them and says, "From dust thou cometh, and to dust thou shalt return," which brought tears to his eyes. Our children, we want all of the good things of life for them. We want grandeur and bravery and passion and adventure, all of the things that we try to keep them from, we really want for them. We want them to evade us and to get those things that make life worthwhile, even though we're right to try to protect them. He was visited by Father Wilmer from Our Lady of Perpetual Responsibility Church, who was going to have to conduct a very terrible funeral mass this last week for two young men who were killed at the age of 18, riding snowmobiles on a country road, having a wonderful time, going 55, 60 miles an hour on the country road and coming over the hill. And there was the truck that was pulled right across the road, and they could not stop. Two of them dead, 18 years old, would be all that they would ever know. Well, Father Wilmer has preached funerals before. He knows the drill. He knows what he's supposed to do. There you are in a room that's full of incredible grief, people crazed with grief, people drunk on grief, and the minister is the designated driver, and you take people to where they need to go, saying the old words about death. There are no new words to be said about death. You say the old words that people know about transformation. But the pastor and the priest sat there commiserating about what he would need to do. Now here he was in Marilyn and Daryl Tollerud's farmyard. The snow was falling. His tracks were the first tracks. The barn over there, the shed, the granary, the machine shed, the garage, and the house. He got out of his car, not sure what he was there to talk about. He walked across the snow, his footprints, the first, as if he'd walked into a new world. Marilyn Tollerud opened the door. She had a rifle in her hand. "Coyotes," she said. "We're looking out for coyotes. Come on in. You're welcome." He could smell banana bread baking in her kitchen. "It's for Mother's funeral," she said, "whenever that may be." Well, he knew all about her mother, Mrs. Rasmussen. She's up in the Good Shepherd home. She's been dying for a long time now, and then she keeps coming back. She's a staunch Republican, and she loved Fred Thompson. She just loved him from TV, thought he'd make a wonderful president. And so when his candidacy faltered and failed, then she kind of lost the will to live for a while. But she's Norwegian, and Norwegians hate to die during the winter. They feel that it reflects poorly on them, and cold is a stimulant to Norwegians. The death rate among elderly Norwegians goes up in May and June and July. So she kind of rallied a little bit, and then she was worried about the funeral lunch. You see, the ladies' circle at Lake Wobegon Lutheran Church has put the church on notice that it can no longer expect and assume that the ladies are going to fix the funeral lunch, the ham salad sandwich and the banana bread and the Rice Krispie bars and the coffee and the Jell-O salad, as they have for a century or more. This has always been assumed to be part of a funeral. After the service and after we put the body in the ground, we come back for the ham salad sandwiches. But those old ladies who always did that, they're dying off, just like Mrs. Rasmussen is, and younger ladies are busy. They don't have time to do all of that. And so somebody may fix a plate of bars, but you can't assume the whole lunch, which very troubled Mrs. Rasmussen. She didn't dare die until she knew that her guests would be taken care of. And so her daughter Marilyn had made a ham salad sandwich and had made banana bread and took it up to the Good Shepherd home and had set it down on the table beside Mother's bed. And Mother looked at it and smiled, and she went into a coma. And now Larry, the custodian of the church, has been told to go ahead, and so he's gotten a truckload of hot coals, and he's put them down there on the ground in the cemetery, and that grave should be dug and all ready to go by Wednesday or Thursday, is what we are assuming. The Magan dances came back from their vacation. They were in Mexico. Mr. and Mrs. Magandance, Margie Magandance, and her two sisters and their two husbands all went down. They came back a week and a half late. People were curious. They had nothing to say about what had happened. It was fine, they said. It was fine, fine, fine. Didn't want to talk about it. People didn't want to probe. And then Annette, the youngest sister, told Luann at the Bon Marché Beauty Salon all the whole story. And so it finally came out. They had gone to this resort in Mexico, an all-inclusive resort, a gated resort, and you don't pay for any food or anything, your recreation, your entertainment, it's all taken care of. And so Margie, as the oldest sister, did as she ordinarily would do. She took responsibility of her sisters, and she told everybody to give her their billfolds and their passports, and she would keep them safe. She put them into a green garbage bag, and she folded it up carefully, and she put a post-it note on it that said, "Do not remove," and put it under her bed there in the resort. And it was taken away by a maid who didn't understand English. And so the six of them went out to the dump late that night and were pawing through the garbage and refuse and looking for it, and they heard sirens, and they saw spotlights over the mounds of plastic bags, and they panicked, and they took off running across the field and into the woods and headed north. They were pretty sure it was north. Six gringos traveling under cover of darkness, sleeping by day under trees and bushes. And the men got some odd jobs cutting lawns, grass, weeding flowers, picking fruit, and so on. They made their way north. They begged for money in cities. They sang on street corners past the hat. Via Con Dios didn't work very well. Nor did south of the border down Mexico Way, ay, 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 ay. But Children of the Heavenly Father seemed to work pretty well, and A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. The Mexicans had never heard those before. They were dancing around in circles to Ein Feste Burg Ist Unser Gott, and they showered them with pesos, and they headed north, making their way towards the Rio Grande. Six Americans, undocumented, arrived at the Rio Grande, waited there until late at night, took off their clothes except for their underwear, and they waded across the river, bundles of clothing on their heads, got to Del Rio, Texas, made a collect call home. They were telegraphed money. They got on a Greyhound bus. They rode 72 hours. They got back home to Lake Wobegon. Didn't have much to say about that vacation. It didn't seem likely that they would go back to Mexico anytime ever soon. Clint Bunsen finally went in to see Pastor Inquist about what he'd been so brooding about and quiet about. He told Pastor Inquist that he had made the great mistake of investigating his ancestry. He'd been curious about his ancestry in Norway. Great-great-grandpa Bunsen had come through Ellis Island. He knew that great-great-grandpa Bunsen had changed his name to Bunsen, so he was looking up different variants, Banson and Bonnison and Burnison, and not finding anything there. And he was curious about where in Norway his people had come from. He's been a staunch member of the Sons of Canute Lodge, and his brother Clarence was a grand Oya at one time, and he had the apron and the sash, the sword, the plumed hat, and the cape. So he wanted to know more, and he saw an ad in the back pages of Genealogy Today magazine for DNA testing to find out about where you're from. And he sent them some strands of hair and a thumbnail clipping. And 3 weeks later, from the lab in Englewood, New Jersey, came the news that he wasn't Norwegian. There wasn't a smidgen of Norwegian in him. Estonian. Some Latvian. Some Finnish. No Norwegian. He didn't know what to think. He'd been a Norwegian all his life. He'd celebrated Sötndamai. He'd stood around with other sons of Canute and gotten drunk on beer and sang Helsedemde hjemme, Helsmin far more. He'd sung the old Norwegian songs at Christmas, De Kimenu to Julefest. He'd done all of this. He'd been in the Sons of Canute, and now not to be Norwegian anymore. It was like an involuntary sex change. And he didn't know how to tell Clarence about it. This would absolutely kill Clarence. He went to see Pastor Inquist. Pastor Inquist listened to him. He said, "Think of it as a transformation. We are what we are, summus quod summus, but management reserves the right to change this suddenly. And so be grateful. As we say in Norwegian, we say, hold kjeft og vær smuk, shut up and be beautiful." Meaning that you are beautiful. Whoever you are, take it as an opportunity. Take it as an experience. Some luck lies not in getting what you have or what you thought you wanted, but in getting what you have now, which, once you have it, you may be smart enough to realize was what you would have wanted had you known in the first place. It's good to get inscrutable advice. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children above average. The News from Lake Wobegon podcast is brought to you by Bisquick Heart Smart Pancake and Baking Mix. With 0 grams trans fat and no cholesterol, Bisquick Heart Smart Pancakes are a delicious way to be good to your heart. Bisquick, real pancakes, real good.